sincere prostrated obeisances at the lotus feet of all of the assembled devotees of the Lord. We have come with such eagerness to hear the nectarine glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, this eagerness to hear the glories of the Lord is the qualification which attracts the Supreme Lord within our hearts to purify us of the anarthas or the unwanted desires that perpetuate the suffering of birth, old age, disease, and death. One who hears this narration of the Supreme Lord in his illustrious incarnation of Lord Sri Ram will certainly find supreme resting place in the ecstatic love of the Lord. But one must hear with submissive attention, with a very sincere and deep desire to serve the Lord and serve His devotees. We have come to this very holy Dham, Sri Ayodhya, for the purpose of purifying our hearts by our earnest attempts to please the Supreme Lord in the association of His devotees. This narration, which has been so gloriously bestowed upon us by Sri Valmiki Muni, is the original poem in all of the creation. And it is very sweet to hear and full of great lessons in spirituality, morality, but most of all, it helps us to fix our minds in the loving service of the Lord. Ayodhya is a very ancient city. The oldest of the Vedic literatures, the Ramayana of Valmiki Muni, speaks the glories of this very holy place. We have come here following in the footsteps of our previous acharyas. Lord Nityananda Prabhu visited here on his pilgrimage. It is said that Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu had visited, as well as Madhavendra Puri. When Nityananda Prabhu came here in the mood of Lakshman, he experienced ecstatic love. We have come here to purify our hearts by begging for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who descended in the Treta Yuga in his divine incarnation of Sri Ram. Our acharyas describe that above this material realm there is the Viraja. The Viraja is like a river that separates material existence from the spiritual world. Beyond the Viraja, which is situated above Brahmaloka, the Brahma Jyoti in the Paravyoma are innumerable Vaikuntha planets, where Lord Narayan resides, and the various incarnations of the Lord that appear in this world are eternal personalities of the Lord that reside in Vaikuntha planets. Varaha Dev, Narasingha Dev, Vamana Dev. Those who are their pure devotees go to the eternal Vaikuntha planet where they can be served eternally. In the Vaikuntha planets, the devotees serve the Lord in Aishwarya Bhava, with great awe and reverence, with complete understanding that you are the Supreme Lord and I am your eternal servant. However, above all other Vaikuntha planets is Ayodhya Dham, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ramchandra, where there is relationships with the Lord as friend, as parent, as lover, but it is all with this Aishwarya Bhava. The Supreme Lord Ram has one consort, Sita, who is above all the goddesses of fortune, Lakshmis. And above the Ayodhya Dham is Krishna Loka, which has Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan. And Vrindavan is considered to be the highest realm of all the abodes of the spiritual world. So Rupa Goswami explains that of all the incarnations, besides Krishna, Lord Ramchandra and Lord Narasingadeva are of very, very primary importance, because their munificence and their relationships with the devotees are very, very special. It is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanarataya sambhavami yuge yuge, that the Lord descends into this world to annihilate the miscreants, to reestablish the principles of religion, and to give pleasure to his devotees. When demons come to this world, they create terrible suffering to the inhabitants. And that suffering is an impetus for people to come to the proper understanding that we are helpless without the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, the great scriptures explain that the pleasures of this world are pathways to death. And the sufferings remind us of that reality. So the Supreme Lord descended from his eternal abode of Ayodhya in Vaikuntha through the agency of Chirodakshayi Vishnu for the purpose of relieving the burden of this world in the form of Ravana. While here in Ayodhya, to hear the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Ram, is especially purifying. So please, please, with very rapt attention, hear this ambrosial narration. There was a Rakshasa. Actually, he was from the Rakshasa dynasty. But sometimes people from the Rakshasa dynasties could be pious. They are born of that gotra, but they do not act like their parents. Just like there are some people here from Malecha and Yavana backgrounds, but they're behaving like very, very honest and sincere Vaishnavas. So just because you're born a Rakshasa doesn't mean you have to be a Rakshasa. After all, Vibhishan was born of a Rakshasa, but he was a very pious devotee. That is why Krishna says, Chaturvanamayasrista guna karma vibhagasya. It is not by birth that we evaluate a person's position. It is by one's activities. So there was this Rakshasa of the name Sumali. And at that time, the demon race was very, very much being trampled on by the demigods. So he was thinking that if we can continue our Rakshasa race through the genealogy of very, very powerful Brahmins, then we can have long duration of power. He had a daughter of the name Kaikashi, who was very, very beautiful and very innocent by heart and full of very virtuous qualities. Sumali told his daughter that you should get married to a great Brahmin sage and you should have children through him. So he told her about a Brahmin who was a rishi performing severe tapasya and gaining tremendous amounts of powers. His name was Vishrava. So knowing that she was before him, he opened his eyes and he accepted her request. But then he wanted to tell her what the future of her desires will be. So he went into meditation and he said, I will have children through you, but because you approached me at a very inauspicious time for children, I will tell you what will happen. Your children will be cruel, bloodthirsty Rakshasas. Now she was a very pious lady, although from a Rakshasa dynasty. So she was horrified to hear this. She fell at his feet and she prayed, please, please, is there something we can do to have nice children? He said that your youngest child will be a very pious and good devotee of the Lord. He will be the very embodiment of dharma. The first child born from Kaikashi and Vishrava had 10 heads. From the moment that child came out of the womb of his mother, his eyes were ferociously red in anger, and there were burning flames flying out of all of his 10 mouths. He had 20 arms, and he was anger personified. His father named him Dasagriva because he had 10 heads. Later on, because he would cause tears to everyone within the universe, his name became Ravana. His younger brother, when he came out of the womb, he immediately, instantly grew into an all-devouring monster. He was practically big like the universe. And from his very infancy, he was devouring everything and everyone that came in his sight. This child was named Kumbhakarna. The next child that was born was a very, very ugly, deformed, misshapen little girl who grew very big. Her name was Supanaka. And there were some more children, but the last of the children, the youngest child, was Vibhishan. Very gentle, very polite, very humble, compassionate to all living beings, and always remembering the beautiful pastimes of the Supreme Personality of God. So they lived together. Now Vishava, from one of his other wives, had a son named Kuvera. Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods. Very wealthy, very pompous. One day, Kuvera came to meet his father. When Kaikashi, the mother of Ravana and Kumbhakarna, Suparnaka, and Vibhishan, when she saw Kuvera's opulence, his prestige and power, she said to her sons that, "You are the son of the same father as him. And you have no opulence, you have no power, you have no abodes like him. You should perform tapasya and you should gain at least equal to Kuvera." So they went to a place called Gokarna. And there they performed tapasya.
They all worshiped Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And they performed such incredibly severe tapasya. They had such intensely deep concentration in their meditation that they literally forced Brahma to come and appear.
Kumbhakarna stood on one leg for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, hardly eating and not even sleeping and hardly even breathing. Dasagriva, Ravana, he performed tapasya for 10,000 years. He did not eat or sleep for 10,000 years. And not only that, Kumbhakarna and Ravana, during their tapasya, they followed complete celibacy and the absolute pure morality from the material point of view. Ravana, every 1,000 years, he would cut off one of his heads and put it into the sacred fire. After 9,000 years, he only had one head left. Still, no eating, no sleeping. Standing in one place. At the end of the 10,000th year, he was about to cut off his last head. At that time, out of obligation, Lord Brahma had to appear. So he asked Ravana, "What benediction do you want? You have satisfied me." He said, "I want to become immortal." Brahma said, "I have no power to give the benediction of immortality. Ask for something else." So he went down a list. He had everything figured out. He had his notes. But in Treta Yuga, you didn't have to have notes on paper. You have them right in your mind. He said, "I want the benediction that I cannot be killed by any demigod, by any Gandharva, by any Kinara, by any Rakshasa, by any Naga, by any Rishi." He went down the whole list, and at the end of his list he said, "But don't bother giving me the benediction that I cannot be killed by a human being. Because human beings are so insignificant. It is below my integrity. It is an insult to give me the boon that I will not be killed by a human being." It's like, are you going to ask the benediction that you will not be beat up by an ant? You don't even think ants are insignificant. Please understand, what is a Rakshasa? Rakshasas, their race is equal in power and strength to the demigods, except they're evil instead of good. They have duration of lives, power, strength, like the demigods, except
instead of being in the mode of goodness, they're very deeply entrenched in the mode of ignorance. Human beings are insignificant. So he asked for these benedictions. Lord Brahma said, so be it. He considered, I am immortal. Nothing can destroy me. Then Brahma gave him extra benediction. That all the heads that you cut off, I'll give them all back to you. And anyone who ever cuts them off, they'll grow back. And also you'll be able to change your form into any way you like. And you will have insurmountable powers. Then he was about to ask Kumbhakarna what boon he wanted. At that time, all the demigods, they came running to Lord Brahma and said, please listen to us before you ask him. Please, please just come aside and listen to us before you ask him. This Kumbhakarna, he doesn't have any boons yet. And yet he's devouring the whole universe. He's so big, he's just eating everything and everyone. Nothing can stop him. He went to Indra Loka, and Indra's own warriors, his best soldiers, he just put them in his mouth and ate them. We have never ever seen anyone who has ever had such powers and was so ghastly and cruel as Kumbhakarna. He's bloodthirsty. He's cruel. Now, if you give him benediction, that will make him even more powerful. Please, don't give him any benediction. So Brahma was thinking, I have to give him a benediction. He's performed tapasya. So what should I do? Brahma decided a plan. He called his consort, not eternal consort, but his consort who remains as long as this 300 trillion years of his life. Who is his consort? Saraswati. Saraswati appeared. Lord Brahma said, Saraswati Devi, you are the goddess of speech. Please enter on the tongue of Kumbhakarna and make him speak what the gods want him to speak. So Saraswati entered onto Kumbhakarna's mass, bloodthirsty tongue by her powers. And Brahma said, Kumbhakarna, what benediction do you want? Kumbhakarna, whose voice was like the tumultuous roaring of a mountain. Saraswati Devi made that voluminously loud and irritable tongue speak her words. He said, I want to sleep. I want to sleep all year round and just be awake one day of the year. So Brahma said, so be it, go to sleep. And then Saraswati left his tongue and Kumbhakarna was totally bewildered. What did I say? That's not what I wanted. I did 10,000 years of tapasya. And I was following celibacy. I didn't eat any meat. I was courteous to everyone for 10,000 years. Do you know what an austerity it is for me? And I asked for benediction of going to sleep my whole life. So then he went to sleep.
They all achieved what they desired. Brahma gave them all the benedictions. And Vibhishan was not an exception.
He performed thousands of celestial years of severe tapasya, and Brahma appeared to him. And when Brahma asked Vibhishana for benediction, unlike Ravana and Kumbhakarna and Kara and Bhushan and the others, Vibhishana asked bhakti. He asked for pure devotion unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of God. Vibhishana Maharaj ki jai! He was a great devotee. And even though he was the younger brother of Ravana, and he was one of his very chief ministers, in his home, he was always engaged in the worship of the Supreme Lord, Sri Ram.
Lord Brahma, he gave the benediction to Vibhishana that he would always be the perfect emblem of Dharma, and he would always remember the Supreme Personality of God. Ravana, he became so arrogant due to the powers of the benediction that he had received. He sent a messenger to Kuvera, who had his abode in Sri Lanka. It was a beautiful golden city, the most opulent place on earth. It was the headquarters of the treasure of the demigods when he was on this earth planet. So knowing Ravana's powers, Kuvera was told, you get out or you die. This is the message of Ravana. He has decided that Sri Lanka used to be the abode of the Rakshasas, but then it was inherited because they were all defeated by you. Get out or be killed. So Ravana came, and Kuvera, knowing that he was no match to the almighty Ravana, he left. And just to insult him, Ravana even took Kuvera's very famous airplane called Pushpaka. And then to show off his glories, he started traveling around the universe with this Pushpaka. He was traveling over Himalayas, thinking himself to be the conqueror of everything. And the nature of one who becomes proud is we think that everything is meant for our enjoyment. We cannot tolerate to see something we like being enjoyed by someone else. So he saw in the beautiful, beautiful forests of the Himalayas, a lovely woman with matted hair sitting down in meditation. He became so much charmed by the beauty of this woman. He decided, I must have her as my wife. He came down and with his very, very deep voice, he said, please tell me, O lovely woman with shapely limbs, what are you doing in the forest meditating all alone? She said, my name is Vedavati, and I am the daughter of the great Brahmin sage Kushitvaja. And my father has told me to perform tapasya, meditating on the lotus feet of Vishnu, praying that he will be my husband. Ravana, when he heard the name Vishnu, he became intolerably angry. And he laughed. He said, Vishnu is just an insignificant fool. I am Ravana. I am the conqueror of the universe. I desire that you be my wife. You come to my capital of Sri Lanka and enjoy with me, and I will give you all the pleasures that you could have ever desired. When she heard this, she said, this is impossible. My heart belongs to Lord Vishnu, and I will not be touched by any other man. He said, you come, and you let me enjoy me by your free will, or you let me enjoy you by force. But you will not get away from me. I have conquered the universe, and I will conquer you. Then he grabbed her by her matted hair. But by her mystic powers, she chanted a mantra. And through that mantra, her hand became as sharp as a sword, and she cut her matted hair and got away. He was standing there holding the hair, but she went away. Then she told him that I will return. And then when I return, I will be the cause of your death and the death of your entire dynasty. Then meditating on the lotus feet of Vishnu, she increased the heat of the fire element in her body by her mystic powers, and she burned herself into ashes. Ravana later on was traveling, and he came to Ayodhya, which was at the time ruled over by a king named Anaranya, one of the great kings who were descendants of Ikshvaku. And he challenged the city. Anaranya came out with all of his armies. It was a very exciting battle. But ultimately, Ravana destroyed the whole armies and then ruthlessly killed the king of the Raghu dynasty. Just as the king was about to die, he cursed Ravana that someday one of the descendants of my dynasty will be the cause of your death and the destruction of your entire race. Ravana wasn't worried about these curses so much. And he just left Ayodhya because it was just an insignificant kingdom of this world. For him, it was just play, killing, eating. Ravana was terrible. He had a whole army of rakshasas that traveled with him. And wherever they went, they killed people, they tortured people, and they ate their flesh and drank their blood. And the tastiest of all species is humans. And the special delicacy amongst humans is rishis and brahmins, because they're very pure. Because they're very pure and they perform nice tapasya and they eat only prasad, their flesh and blood tastes the best. Even the rakshasas accept this fact. So this is what they did. Whenever they would see rishis doing yajna, they would just